Good morning, everyone. Today's parak is the sixth parak of Hilchos Deos, a parak which, in my opinion, it's fair to paraphrase the words of Chazal with regard to the Parshas Kedoshim and describe this parak in a similar fashion by saying Rov Gufei Torah Tluyim Ba, that there are so many foundational Torah ideas found within these few words of the Rambam that it's really almost hard to fathom. Without further ado, let's begin this foundational parak. Halacha Aleph. Derech b'yasul shel adam lios nimshach b'deyosav u'maisav achareyav v'chaveyrav v'noei k'minag anshei medinaso. It's the very nature of a person to be drawn after, both in terms of his characteristics as well as in his actions, after the people that he associates with, his friends, his neighbors, and the people in his society. Lefikach tzarech adam l'schaber l'tzadikim v'leishiv etzoch hachamim tamid k'dei shi'ilmod mimaseyam. Therefore, a person is obligated to sit next to and associate with people who are righteous and wise constantly in order so that he can learn from their actions. And of course, he should distance himself from evildoers who walk in darkness, in order that he not learn from their actions. Hushar Shlomo Omer, and this is in fact what Shlomo teaches us in Mishlei, somebody who associates, who goes with wise people, himself will become wise, and somebody who befriends fools will be ruined. Omer, Ashrei Ha'ish, that does not follow in the advice of wicked doers. V'chein im hayu b'medina sheminhagu seha ra'im v'ein anas sheha hochim b'derech yishara yilich l'makom sheha sheha tzadikim b'noag m'derech tovim. And if a person, therefore, is in a place, in a society, where the people are not behaving properly, they're all going in a terrible direction, not in the right direction, so then such a person should move away from the place where he finds himself and go to a country where people are behaving more appropriately. And the Rambam laments in his days, the same can certainly be said in our day as well, if a person is only aware of countries which have bad societies, he has no possibility of going, therefore, to a better society, or for whatever reason, he's not able to travel to a place that he does know of, which is better. For example, there's marauding enemies on the roads, or because he's sick, yeshiv levado yechidi. So then, what should he do? He should sit all alone. Kinyan Nemar, as the pasuk says, yeshiv badad vidom. He should silently sit alone and not associate with these evildoers around him. However, if the situation is worse than that, v'im hayu ra'am chatan, she'ein manichem oso leishi v'matina, elim kain is arvi mahen, v'noig v'nhagam ha'ra, and if the people in his society don't allow him to stay there, unless he associates with them and follows in their terrible mannerisms, so then, what should this individual do? Yeitzi lema'aros v'acha v'achim v'limid baros. He should instead go out to the caves, the thorn bushes, the wilderness, v'al yanigat v'der chatan, and he shouldn't behave in the fashion of evildoers. Better that one make one's home the wilderness than to associate with Rishon. Halacha Beis. Given the backdrop the Rambam has just explained, there is a positive Torah command to associate with Chachamim and their students in order to learn from their proper actions. The pasuk says you should attach, you should cleave to God. Pasuk from this week's parsha. It's amazing how many of these Rambams are found in this week's parsha. This week, last week, so many were in last week's parsha. Wait, is it possible for a person to cling, to cleave to God? Shem is, as the pasuk says, a consuming fire. Ela kach amru chachamim beperish mitzvazu. But this is how Chazal interpreted. He dabik b'chachamim v'tami to him. Rather, you should associate with those that are closest to God, which is to say, Tamidi Chamim and their students. So that's who this mitzvah is directed towards. Levikach tzarech adam lishtadal shiisa bas tamid chacham visa v'asi bito l'tamid chacham v'lechov lishtos tamid chacham v'lasot pramash l'tamid chacham v'schaber ben l'chom mine chibor shenemar davka ba. Accordingly, a person is supposed to try in whatever way he can, even in physical ways, to associate with the Talmid Chacham, to marry his daughter, to marry off your daughter to the Talmid Chacham, to eat and drink with them, to do business on their behalf along with them, and to associate with them in any way that you possibly can. As the pasuk says, you should cleave to God, and that's interpreted to mean to Talmid Chacham. And in fact, this is what Chazal teach us in Pirkei Avos, that somebody should cling to the dust of their feet, associate them with however you can, and thirstily drink up their words. Halacha Gimel. Mitzvah al kol adam lehov es kol echad v'echad miyisrael kegufo. A person is obligated to love every single member of Klal Yisrael like his own body. Shnei amar v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. That you shall love your friend as yourself. Lefikach tzarech l'saper b'shvacho v'lachas amamono. Practically, what does this mean? This love translates in action into speaking only positively about him, caring about his possessions. Kasher hu chas amamon atzmo v'rotz b'chvon atzmo. Just as you care about your own wealth and you care about your own dignity, so too you should care about your friends. And Rachmanon, it's not in the reverse. And somebody who gains dignity, he is honored through the degradation of his friend. You step on his head as he's down, so to speak. So such an individual loses his portion in the world to come. Now, to love a convert includes two positive commands. One, number one is because he's like every other full-fledged Jew, and you have a mitzvah, and in addition to that, simply because he's a convert. And the Pasuk says, in this week's parsha, that you shall love a ger. And in fact, Hashem compares the love that you're supposed to give to a convert to the same type of love that you're supposed to give Hashem himself. In last week's parsha, that you're supposed to love Hashem your God in the same way you're supposed to love a convert. Remarkable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Atzmo Ohev Ger, and Hashem himself loves Ger. Another pasuk from this week's parsha, Shneamar, but Ohev Ger, Hashem is defined as somebody who loves the convert, therefore we are called upon to love the convert as well. Now we turn to the negative. Halacha Hey, Kula Soni Echad Miyashrao Belibo, overblows us. Anybody who hates another Jew in his heart violates a negative command. Shneamar, Lo Sisna Es Achicha Belbavecha, don't hate your brother in your heart. Ve'ein Lokin Alav Seh, Lafisha Ein Womais. However, one does not receive lashes from the court if one violates this command, because it has no actual physical action. Now the Torah specifically, interesting psychological insight into our makeup, the Torah specifically exhorted against hatred which is festering in the heart. Somebody who hits his friend or curses him, even though you're not allowed to do so, as we'll see for other reasons, you don't violate this particular command of hatred of your brother in your heart. Now, when somebody does wrong another person, the person who was wronged shouldn't hate him, again, festering in his heart and be silent. Commotion, as the Pasuk says, with regards to the conduct of evildoers, when Amnon raped Avshalom's sister, so Avshalom didn't yell at Amnon, didn't rebuke him. Instead, he let the hatred fester in his heart until eventually he killed Amnon. Rather, you have a positive command to instruct him to the fact that he did something wrong, and you should yell at him and say, what did you do to me? Why would you do this thing? You should rebuke your fellow countryman when he's sinned against you. And then when the individual turns around and he says, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I didn't mean to do what I did. So then you have an obligation to forgive him. And the person who was being asked of forgiveness, he shouldn't be cruel and callous with regards to this request. Just as Avram, when Avimelech had wrongly taken Sarah, Avram still davened on behalf of Avimelech that he should get better, so too we are supposed to forgive easily. Halacha Zayin, Haroa Chaveir Shechata U Shehalach Bederech Lo Tova, Mitzvah Lachzir Lemutov Lodio Shehuchote Al Atzmo B'Maisav Harab, Shneamar Hocheich Tuchich HaSamisecha. If somebody sees his friend sinning, going in a path which is not appropriate, so that is a positive command for him to return him back to the proper path, and to inform him of the fact that by sinning he's hurting himself. As the Pasuk says, you should rebuke your friend. However, when you are rebuking your friend, whether it's between interpersonal problems or because this individual is sinning against Hashem, you still have to rebuke him only in private. You should speak to him softly, and with kind terminology, and you should explain to him that the only reason you're doing this is not because you want to hurt him, but because you have his best interest in mind, in order to bring him into the world to come. And if he listens, that's wonderful. But if he doesn't, you have a continuous command to repeatedly rebuke him. Maybe not at that moment, not incessantly, but that you still have an obligation to rebuke him again and again. And a person is, in fact, obligated to repeatedly rebuke his friend and try to get him to go back to the proper path. Until the sinner hits you and says back to you, I'm not listening. At that point, you don't have to continue. Unless you think, okay, so look, I'm just not going to get involved. And anybody who could have protested against his friend and did not, then you are also swept up in their punishment. You too will be punished for not having objected because you could have and didn't, and therefore, you are held accountable for their sins. When somebody is initially admonishing, rebuking his friend, he shouldn't speak harshly to the point where he embarrasses him. In fact, Chazal say about this, you might think that you're supposed to rebuke him to the point where his face changes colors, white or red, that a person has to be so careful that in this process of rebuke, he doesn't bring about any harm to himself. In other words, by you embarrassing him unnecessarily, what's going to be? You will be punished for that embarrassment. Therefore, don't carry upon yourself any sin for the fact that you rebuked this person. And from here we derive the principle that it is forbidden for a person to embarrass another Jew, and even more so if it's done in public. Even though somebody who embarrasses his friend is not going to be punished through lashes, avon gadolhu. You should know that this is a terrible sin. Kach amar Chacham. In fact, Chazal say something we might have learned in grade school, but we have to make sure to keep clear in our front of our minds. Somebody who degrades his friend publicly has no share in the world to come. Therefore, a person has to be so careful not to degrade another Jew, whether it's done to somebody who's of small stature or somebody who's great, when he is publicly embarrassing them. And also, similarly, you shouldn't use a nickname which is degrading to them. And don't say something in front of him which is going to cause him to be embarrassed. Now the Rambam makes an important caveat. That something that's just between a person and a friend, in other words, that the conduct that you are rebuking is regarding something which is an interpersonal sin. But if it's something which is between the individual and Hashem, if when you had tried to rebuke him privately, he didn't retract from it. This person is blaspheming God, and you try privately to speak to him nicely and get him to stop his heresy, but when he fails to do so, we can publicly degrade him, and we spread the fact that he's sinning, that fun of, and we degrade him to his own face, also, we'll embarrass him, we'll curse him, until he's brought back to the proper path. In fact, this is what all the Nevi'im did, all the different prophets did to the Bnei Israel, so too we are supposed to do so to anybody who's sinning being Adam Limakum. And very importantly, after repeated attempts to get him to do tshuva privately, so then you can resort to these actions. Halacha Yud, a very, very important ending halacha for this parak. A person has to be super careful with regards to the feelings of orphans and widows, because given their unfortunate life circumstances, it's only natural that their spirits are particularly lowly and downcast. This is true even if they're very, very wealthy. A person has to be careful even with regards to the widow and the children, the orphans of a king. The pasuk says, any widow or orphan you shouldn't oppress. Meaning to say, it doesn't matter who they are, what their life circumstances are otherwise, because of this state that they are in, you have to be careful. So how do we treat them? You should only speak to them softly. You should only treat them with utmost dignity. You shouldn't cause them any pain by making them work hard or by speaking harshly. And you have to be more careful with regards to their money than even your own. And anybody who does the opposite, he causes them pain, he angers them, he hurts them in some way, he causes them to work for him, or he causes them a loss of money, such a person, he's violated this negative command. It goes without saying that if you hit them or you curse them. And this lo sase, even though you don't get lashes from Beis Din if you violate it, its terrible punishment is explicit in the Torah. Hashem says that his anger will flare and he will kill the perpetrator with the sword. Listen to the Rambam's beautiful words. A covenant was cut with these individuals, and the one who simply spoke and the world came into existence. That at any point they call out because of injustice, they scream out to Hashem, they will be answered. That when such an individual, this orphan, this widow, calls out to Hashem, Hashem will hear their pleas, he will hear their cries, and he will respond. Now the Rambam clarifies, where is this strict standard about not causing them any pain whatsoever actually applicable? That applies bismaj ino son lo tzorich atzmo. This is when you are oppressing them for your own sake. In that case, then you'll have this harsh punishment. However, if you have to cause them pain for one reason or the other in order to help them, to teach them Torah, teach them a profession, or to guide them in the general correct path, so then that's permitted. Nonetheless, you still shouldn't treat them the same as everybody else. The Rebbe, who sees an orphan in his class, has to treat him with a different level of compassion. You still treat them differently. You should treat them with as much mercy as the situation can allow, and with as much dignity as you can. Shneamar ki Hashem yariv rivam. Don't forget, who's going to fight their battles? Hashem himself. Echad yachzo me'av, echad yachzo me'im. This is true whether the person has lost his father or his mother. Now, until what point is somebody considered an orphan with regards to this strict standard? After all, somebody who loses their 97-year-old mother and isn't in his 70s, is he supposed to be considered an orphan that we have to treat him so softly and carefully? No, so the Rambam clarifies, until the point where they are fully self-sufficient, when they no longer need somebody to take care of them. At the point when he's a full-fledged adult, he's able to take care of himself absolutely, so then he no longer is considered an orphan with this regard. Walking away from a parak like this, taking a step back, we have to appreciate what has just been said. Some of the most crucial, critical, foundational ideas in all the Torah about how we have to respect our fellow Jew, have to treat everybody with maximal dignity, especially those who are downcast and downtrodden. I remember once witnessing somebody who's a big person, somebody who's involved with tremendous tzarchei tzibur, totally wiped the floor with an orphan. They knew it was an orphan, and they just treated them inappropriately, spoke inappropriately to them in a way you shouldn't speak to anybody, especially not an orphan. And I remember shuddering. I trembled. I literally did. Because that is so counter to the Torah's value system. It doesn't matter who you are and what you do otherwise for Klal Yisrael. But if you are going to mistreat individuals and not show them respect, especially those that are downtrodden, then you're not doing that which Hashem wants you to be doing. In Mir Tashem, we should all succeed in knowing the Torah's values and living up to those values in our day-to-day interactions.